good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm glad to see all of your beautiful smiling faces. Oh, now I can see all of your beautiful smiling faces. The light came on. Awesome. And so as my wife said, we are in this series called All In. How many of you guys have decided this year, you know what, I'm going all in. All in to the things of God. I'm returning to my first love, as we talked about the first week. I'm going to pay attention to the details. I'm going to pay attention to having a quiet time and those things that are necessary for living in godliness. And then my wife talked about last week that we're going to steward well and we're going to give well. So how many guys, I said, hey, look, I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going all in this year. A couple of us. Amen. Well, we'll run with that. Amen. So we are in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. And the title of this one is Just a Few Small Sticks. Just a Few Small Sticks. Amen. And so just to kind of give you guys a little bit of history about where we are this morning. We're talking about Elijah, the man of God. He was a prophet, and he would declare the word of God to the children of Israel. And so he went boldly before the king of Israel, which was Ahab, and he began to declare, hey, look, there's going to be a drought, and eventually there's going to be a famine. And the reason this was because the Israelites had sinned. They had worshipped the false god Baal. And so because of their sin, God does not tolerate sin. He can only tolerate sin for so long, right? And then eventually, God is just. And because he is just, there is a just payment for the sins. Amen? Don't be distracted. It is getting set up for later on. It's fine. Now, because God is just, and so the Israelites have sinned, and so Elijah declares, hey, look, there will be no rain. So imagine if someone, a prophet of the Lord, came to South Louisiana and said there will be no rain in Louisiana. Some of us might be like, yes, hallelujah, man, we get rain like all the time. But then, you know, our sugar cane wouldn't grow, our trees wouldn't grow, our satsuma trees would not grow, and all these things that we hold dear to our hearts would not grow, and eventually things would begin to die. The land would begin to crack. And so rain is important. So therefore, Elijah says, hey, look, it's not going to rain. And there's a severe famine coming. So we pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So Elijah, right now, at this point in the story, he is at the brook called Cherith. And God had ordered him to go to the brook. And from the brook, God sent a raven to feed Elijah. I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? Imagine if God sends some egrets, because egrets are pretty native to South Louisiana. If God sends an egret and he has a fish in the mouth of the egret and begins to feed you from the fish. That's pretty awesome. I don't care who you are. That's a free meal, and it's meat. So he's at the brook called Cherith, but then it says that the brook of Cherith began to dry up. And so why would God lead him to a place that would eventually dry up? Because God wanted Elijah to continue to trust in God for his provision and not in anything else. And so he's at this brook called Cherith, and it begins to dry up. And the Lord says, no, I want you to go. I have another way of providing for you. I'm going to send you to this widow in Zarephath. Now, I don't know about you, but like if things are going bad, you know, I'm starting to get hungry and I need some shelter, I'm not thinking about going to someone who is less fortunate than me for help. But see, our ways are one thing, but God's ways are higher than our ways. His thinking is higher than our thinking. And so Elijah must trust that God had a better plan, that God had something up his sleeve. If he was going to send him to Zarephath, to this widow who was poor, who had lost her husband, who was struggling to make it, and how somehow God was going to provide every single need that he had. And so God sends Elijah to this woman named Zarephath. He says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to feed you there. So we talked about a little bit how God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and I just want to kind of point out a scripture that illustrates that. For my thoughts, Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This was a test for Elijah. Will he trust in God? Now, it's interesting that God would send him not only to a widow, but a widow who was of the Sidonians. And so the Sidonians, they were like, not really enemies, but they were on the outsiders of Israel. And so anybody who was not Israel, they were not in the group. And so yet God says, no, I'm going to send you outside of the camp of Israel. I'm going to send you to the Sidonians, and a widow there will take care of you. God could have sent him to any widow in Israel, and any widow in Israel would have welcomed him into their house and fed him and gave him what he needed. But no, God says, no, I'm going to send you into this widow who is of Sidonia. Now, interesting about this, the woman Jezebel, who was Ahab's wife, King Ahab, we talked about King Ahab, his wife was Jezebel. She was from Sidon, okay? Now, so we see in this that God is saying, Elijah, I'm going to send you to the root of the problem. I'm going to send you to the place where all this idolatry started, where this woman Jezebel caused not only her husband to begin to worship this false god Baal, and it caused all of Israel to worship this false god Baal. Elijah, I'm sending you to the enemy's camp. I'm sending you to where the problem began. And because I'm sending you there, I'm also going to provide a way that while you're there in the enemy's camp, I'm going to provide for you so that you are well taken care of, and I'm going to do it through a widow. How many of you guys know whenever you're facing some adversity in your life and you feel like the enemy is right up in your face, that God has a place, a shelter that he can shelter you and protect you and take care of you, even if you're facing your worst enemy. Yeah. Amen? Come on. So in verse 10, he says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. Elijah was a man of God, so whenever God spoke to him, he listened. How we would benefit if, as the church, when God speaks to us, that we would listen just as Elijah listened. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, this is nervy of Elijah, if you ask me. Elijah is going to a widow. Water is scarce because there is a drought. And Elijah is demanding or asking this woman for a drink. This woman is poor. She's a widow. She has nothing. And water is very pricey. And so this is very nervy of Elijah to say, hey, give me a drink. But the lady does not hesitate in giving the drink to Elijah. She must have seen something that was different about this man. He was a complete stranger, didn't know her. She didn't know him. Complete, totally different, a stranger. But yet she gives him the water. And then, but here's the thing. While she was getting the water, Elijah wasn't satisfied with just getting water. He says this. He says in verse 11, and as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand as well. In other words, hey, make me a sandwich while you're at it. I'm a little hungry. Bake me some bread. Give me some water. Give me a sandwich, I'm a little hungry. And so how nervy of Elijah. Anybody know anybody like that? Like you go out of your way to meet their need, and they're still not satisfied. They're still wanting more and more and more and more. Funny story, all right? Yeah, this is a little off topic, but it's funny. A friend of mine asked me to serve in his wedding a while back. It was a long while back. And so I said, okay, yeah, sure. And you know how they normally pass the collection, for the bride and the groom? Great, right? And so anyway, they pass the collection. And what happens next is just like stunned me. I was like blown away in my tracks. He counts the offering that was taken up and looks at it and says, it's not enough. Can we pass another offering? I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me, right? These people were generous. They went out of their way. They gave you money. And yet it was not enough. So he counts the money. He says, no, it's not enough. We've got to pass the offering back. We've got to pass it again. Sure enough, his best man, I'm glad he didn't ask me to be the best man. They passed the bucket again. And so I thought, okay, surely he's going to be satisfied after this. I was wrong. He counts it again. He says, it's still not enough. We need even more. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I'm just like, I'm blown away. I couldn't get the concept that people were generous to him, and yet he was just so like, no, this is not enough. Well, he had this grand plan in his mind that the money collected from the people who came was going to pay for his little honeymoon. and so it wasn't enough. And so Elijah is kind of like in a similar position where, hey, look, I'm thankful for the water, but can you give me some bread as well? I'm a little hungry. I'm kind of starving. It's been a long walk. In verse 12, she said, as the Lord your God lives. So first of all, she says, as the Lord your God lives, the Lord your God. In other words, wasn't necessarily her God, not necessarily her beliefs, but I believe that besides confronting the prophet, besides confronting Jezebel and Ahab about their wickedness and about their idolatry, I believe God sent Elijah to this woman so that this woman can know the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the woman could have salvation as well. I believe this with all my heart. That God will bypass those who look like they have it all together, and he will seek out the ones who have nothing to offer, who seem like they are poor and destitute. He will say, yeah, that's the one I want right there. That's the one I'm going to use. I'm going to send my prophet Elijah to that person because they have a heart. This woman, as we can see in this story, had an authentic and genuine heart as she was willing to give, even though she didn't have anything. She was willing to give the little bit to Elijah. And that's what God will use. She says, as your Lord, your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Talk about hopeless. Talk about, you know, this is my last meal. This is all I have. I don't see anything else after this. It looks like death. It looks hopeless. I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. You know, it's easy to understand where she's coming from. You know, she's in a pretty bad situation. The drought is, and the famine has been overwhelming. There's no water in the land. From the natural perspective, it looks like it's over. Looking at it from the natural circumstance, it appears this is it. But whenever we look at it from the supernatural, we realize this is not it at all. That God has a bigger plan, that God has a greater plan that we cannot see. So when it appears like it's over, when it looks like all hope is gone, we serve a God that says, I know what it looks like right now, but I am able. I am that I am. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your peace. I am your shalom. I am that I am. Amen. If we're not careful, we can have this same mentality that this woman faced. See, we can look at what God's asking us to do, and we can say, you know what, it's just too big. It's the resources I have is just too insignificant. My talents don't amount to much. I don't have much to offer. And we can feel like this woman. We can feel like this, just very insignificant, nothing to offer. But let me ask you something. Did the man of God ask her to give him something that she did not have? Let me ask that again. Did the man of God ask her to give him something that she did not have? No, the man of God says, what do you have? What little do you have? Yes, she might have had a little bit of oil, but it was oil nonetheless. Yes, she might have had a few small sticks, but it was sticks nonetheless. Yes, she might have had a little bit of flour, but it was flour nonetheless. What little do you have this morning that you feel that is insignificant, that can be, that you don't feel like you can, that God can use you, but God says, if you give me the little, if you entrust the little to me, I can multiply that little and turn it into something great. As a minister, whenever I began preaching, I felt like this woman felt. I felt like, God, I am too insignificant. I don't have I'm not a proper speaker. I don't speak well. I don't have this. I don't have that. God didn't ask me what I didn't have. He said, what do you have? What little faith do you have? Do you have a mouth? Then you can use it. I can use it. God said, hey, look, I can use a donkey to speak to Balaam, and I can use a rod to set free the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh. I can use anything. I can use a whale to get Jonah's attention. What little do you have? God can use it this morning. Verse 13 says, you know, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. He's like, all right, go ahead and continue to do what you're going to do. Feed your kids. But first, take care of me. In other words, give to God first. Give to God first. Put God first in the little bit that you have, and God's going to multiply the rest. But if you put you first, then forget about it. God says, no, put me first. And watch what I can do. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day of the Lord reigns upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by the prophet Elijah. As difficult as it was for this woman to believe and to obey the voice of God, she did it anyway. And because she did it, as she poured out the flour, there was more flour. As she poured out the oil, there was more oil. As she gathered those sticks, there were more sticks. She began to use what little she did have, and God began to multiply it. Amen. Which leads us to our little illustration this morning. I'd like to ask all of you who are a part of this to come on stage right now. And Colin, bear with us a few minutes. We're going to set up. What little do you have? What stick do you have? God is wanting to use that this morning. Amen. We're going to build a bonfire this morning. We're going to set this thing on fire. I'm just kidding. I work too hard on the stage to set it on fire. We're not doing that. But I asked my wife if I could set it on fire. She said no, just for reference. And so we're talking about Elijah, and we're talking about this woman, how she had a little oil, a little flour, a little wood. And so that's the point we want to bring out this morning. And so you may know or you may not know all of these people, but these people are very influential and have sacrificed so much and do so much. And we have so many different ways at Hope Community Church that you can be involved, that you can take your little and begin to use it for the glory of God. And as you use your little, that God will begin to multiply it. You can take your stick and use it for the glory of God. And as we... You know, this represents the church as a whole. And as each and every person is going to share, what they're going to do afterwards is they're going to take their stick and they're going to put it on this bonfire. Because here's the thing about it. You know, we can't do it on our own. But like as we begin to work together, we're going to burn brightly for the Lord. Amen. We're going to be the light in the midst of darkness on the east side of Houma. We're going to let the light of Christ shine through us. And we're going to be that which God has called us to be. And so without further ado, I would like to maybe start on this end. And we're going to work our way all the way on this end. And they're just going to kind of share a little bit about who they are and what they do. And then, so I ask that you guys would just pay attention. And maybe as they're talking, that you would just ask the Lord, what is my part to play? I have a stick. What can I do with my stick? What can I do with the giftings and the talents that you have given me? So here we go.
Good morning. My name is Kim, and I'm part of the team that does Hope to the Streets. And what Hope to the Streets is we actually go as a big group to the east side of Houma and share the love of Christ. We are the hands and feet, and the purpose of this is to get out of the four walls of the church and go forward and show people that Jesus is still alive and that he still loves them and that there is hope. So when we get together, it is the first Sunday of the month. Pastor usually tells you about what time. It's been earlier due to the time change, but we come, and I have a team that we practice drummers every week, and we get together for the first hour, and we pray, and we do our program. We get together, practice, you know, so it's not hard. Anybody can do it. It does not matter the age, from the youngest to the oldest. Pastor's kids come. The oldest, if you can't stand a while, we'll get you a chair. You could sit and visit. Anyone can talk to someone. And we're doing exactly what Jesus did. Jesus not only went to the temple, but he went to the streets, to the hurting, and the ones who were broken, and the ones who were hopeless. So that's what Hope to the Street is we go, we are Jesus' hands and feet. And we're going to do that every first Sunday of the month. I would love for any one of y'all to join. It does not take nothing special to do it. And we go as a team, you're not by yourself. And just, you know, if you can't be here, I do ask that y'all pray. Pray for the neighborhoods, pray for the people, that God will go before us and prepare them so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lena, and my part for this ministry that I am in is cooking for people that are like going through surgery, going through a hard time, and they can't do it. Maybe a funeral, or, you know, loss in the family. We cook here for, like, we got a group coming up, the young men. It's called what? D-Now. And we come here and we serve them. And it's just a really good ministry to be in because we know everybody goes through something in life. And we all sometimes can't do what we need to do. We have one out, which is Mr. Jeremiah. He's a part of this church, and he went through surgery here this week, passed, and he can't cook, and he can't do for himself. So I get together, and I ask people also to help me. If you can't cook, can you just donate anything? Just donate, bring it to the church, and we'll get it to Mr. Jeremiah. Make sure that he has a meal. Make sure he has what he needs and that he's not there and alone. And just take a few minutes and maybe go visit him because he can't get out. And anybody can do it. You know, you don't need a lot. If you don't have time to cook, just bring whatever you have and we can do it for you. And anybody can do it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tina, and I'm the director for our kids ministry, also for the women's ministry. And for kids ministry, we do believe that all of our children are a gift from God. And we do value, we know that your kids are important to God and to us. And so in kids ministry, we have Kids Hope Kids Nursery, which is for our children ages 0 to 3. And the mission in that ministry is to begin to show the love of Christ. And we know that can happen as early as infants, to show the love of Christ. Our ministry is open anytime our church is open. So for early morning classes, we have Hope Kids Nursery. For our morning 10:30 service, excuse me, and Wednesday evening, we also provide nursery for special events. We provide nursery. So don't let having a child in nursery cause you not to go to our classes. They're very important, and so that's why we do provide nursery. And then also another part of kids' ministry is our children's, Hope Kids Children's Ministry, and that's for kids ages 4 to 11. And so the mission in that ministry, it continues, showing the love of Christ, but also helping our kids understand who they are in Christ, helping them understand the good news of Jesus. And so it gets a lot more intense, I guess, but it's still fun because we do teach biblical truths of who God is, who they are in Christ. And anytime the church is open, we have kids' church for Sunday morning, Wednesday evening. And our vision, here it is. Our vision is that our children are Christ followers, and that to be that way, you need to love like Christ and to live like Christ so that others could see Christ in us. How you can help. This is very important because we need you. We need volunteers. We need volunteers in nursery. We need teachers in kids' church. I provide the lessons, so you don't have to worry about that. Just show up. Say, I want to help. If you love kids, if you love babies, if you love to nurture, or if you feel convicted by hearing this, you feel those, you know, that tug on your heart because you understand the biblical truth to feed my sheep, this ministry is for you. So that's kids' ministry, Hope Kids Nursery and Hope Kids Children's Ministry. And then women's ministry, we meet also on Wednesday nights. And In women's ministry, we want our women to really connect. And the purpose here is to grow in our faith and our relationship with Jesus and to increase our love and connection with the other women in our church. As we meet, our Bible studies are purposeful in order to help us hear from God, to learn His true character, to pray with one another, and just to encourage each other to be all that God has purpose us to be. We all have a purpose. And so for women's ministry, it's a safe place to come and be connected to each other. And so our vision here is that, again, to be Christ followers. And so we want our women, we help our women, we ignite them with a passion for Christ in their hearts so that they can be empowered to apply God's word in their life. How can you help? Get involved, right? And I love my women, but please get involved. It's a place where you can come, dig into God's word, and be loved by other women here at Hope Community. Okay, I think I've taken up too much time. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Maria with with Hope Restored. We are a pro-life pregnancy center offering life-affirming choices to men and women who are facing unplanned pregnancies. We offer pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, and educational classes, as well as compassionate peer counseling. All of our services are free and confidential. As our women attend the classes and keep their appointments, they earn what's called boutique bucks. And with those bucks, they can exchange those for the baby supplies that they need to make sure they have everything they need for when the baby comes home. Ways you can get involved is to pray. We need your prayers. We need your prayers for the women, for the men who are coming in, as well as their baby, as well as the babies who are affected. If you'd like to volunteer, you can give us a call and we can schedule an appointment for that. And share us on Facebook. We need to get the word out about what we're doing and how we can help those who are in a crisis pregnancy choose life. And our vision is that each and every man and woman who come to the doors knows before they leave that God has a plan and a purpose for them as well as their baby, and that there is hope and healing and a future with Christ. Life is valuable and sacred. Thanks.
And we made her share because this actually happens in our building. So if you want to talk to her after, definitely do that. I do Momentum Youth, and I don't do that. Thank you. I knew that was going to happen because I got young people in the front. And so I don't do that alone. We have some small group. If you're a small group leader, would you just sort of raise your hand? We got some in the back and the front. And so we got some people that are investing into your kiddos. Here's the thing. If your teenagers tell you they're not struggling, they are lying. Life is hard, and so it is hard to be a Christian in school. If you thought it was bad 20 years ago, it is terrible. And I'm just being honest. And so Momentum is a safe place where young people can come hang out but find like-minded people that are loving Jesus. And I'm not saying we're doing that perfectly because we are imperfect people, but we are praying and fasting for your kids. 7th through 12th graders, if you love teenagers, come and talk to me after service. I'd love to plug you in. And then, of course, our D-Now. I just want to say again that if you have a teenager that is 7th to 12th grade in this room, make them come. Don't ask them, just tell them. I will be there. And then God will move, right? We just pray and fast and believe, and God will move. So encourage you to do that.
My name is Effie, and I work in the cafe that every Sunday we serve free coffee. So this morning was a very good day for y'all to come get y'all some hot coffee. And not only coffee, we also have cold drinks and cold water. They're 50 cents, though. Sorry. Also, to go with your coffee, we have muffins, honey buns, other little candies and things like that, but they're $1.50 to $1. So it's a nice place to meet others and socialize and get to know each other, how we spend our week and things like that. So come and join us on Sunday morning up until about 10:15 because we have to be in church for service. So, all right.
Before we start, how many people in here are between the ages of 18 and 32, 33-ish? If you could raise your hand real quick. Pop, pop. Nah, no, you're not, sir. All right, cool, cool, cool. So my wife and I, Jolie, I'm Norris. We're over the ministry of Amplify, which is a young adult ministry. How many people wish they can go back 20 years, honestly, and look back at some choices that you made during that time? So you understand the importance of that particular group. So, no, Brother Shane, you understand the importance of that particular group, and my wife and I recently just took over, so we are still hitting bruises as well, but we meet every second Friday of the month, which is the next meeting will be February 14th, the day of love, celebration, so... And honestly, the purpose is that just to give an opportunity for those young adults during that age range to get together and see there are people like them that have a heart for the Lord, that are coming into their understanding of what the purpose is for their life, what God's direction is for them, and that their identity is founded in Christ and Christ alone. I think that's just a pivotal stage where our minds are need some reframing, definitely, at that age. And it can set up a future of joy and peace, or it can set a path of destruction. And that's the goal of Amplify, is to create that space for them to understand that God has identity for them and he has a purpose for them, and to walk in it, that you're not built to be antisocial. No one told you was introverted. Flesh told you that. God said that I've created you with love and joy and peace, and that's my identity for you. So that's what we hope that our young adults would walk into that framework of. So just keep us in prayer. If you feel like fasting on a day, lift Amplify up and lift those young adults up, because I think that's just the most pivotal stage of our life. So second Friday of the month, get in contact with. We have two guys up here in the front, Sam and T. Lynn. We have Bryce in the back. We have Keyshawna, myself, Jolie. Just try to get in contact with one of us if you want to be a part of that. And we do have Facebook. So second Friday of the month, February 14th. We can have babysitting if need be. So just get in contact with one of us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Brandon. I'm over worship at Hope Community Church. And so, y'all are crazy. y'all are funny. But it's truly a joy just serving on the worship team and leading. Tara may have said it before, but we start off very small, and it's grown so much. We start off with a Gatorade tank and put music on there, and she's just like, lead. And I was just like, what? I don't know what you're talking about, lead, but I guess you trust me. Okay. And so, but from there, it has grown. And I just want to say this. It's such an honor and a privilege to come to a church and serve at a church where people worship. And truly worship. And I mean, I believe it's authentic worship that's happening over here. And so that's truly our goal, is just to truly have authentic worship, just to stand before the Lord and sing, not just sing songs, but give our lives to him. And I see that every Sunday. And so I thank you guys for worshiping with us, man. And it's truly a privilege and honor to worship with you guys every Sunday morning. And just some needs that we've kind of been seeing. Hey, if you know how to play instruments, please let me know. let me know. I know our pastors, they've been drumming and playing piano for us for a while, and they would love to get off the stage, to be honest with you. I know they're good at what they do. I'm not saying y'all ain't good at all, but they're great at what they do. But they would like to come down eventually. So if you know of any, or if you're here and you know how to play drums, if you want to learn how to play drums, Pastor Ted would be willing to teach you. Guitar, I'll be willing to help. I'm not that great, but it just comes to show, like, man, if, like he said earlier, we may not have much. We may just bring something small to the table, but God will use it in such a great and mighty way, man. And so maybe you may think that, oh, I don't have the voice. Man, God could use anybody. Also, not worship is not just on stage, but it's also in the sound booth. Slides, also sound. If you ever, you want to help with slides, we always need people with slides. If you know me, I mess up on the words a lot. So you might want to look at that slide. All right? Shh, oh, I'm not going to tell them. I'm just saying. I'm just going to be honest, you know. But y'all know it's true. All right? So some of y'all been thinking for a long time. Hey, I'm just going to put it out there. Nah, but but no, look, it's just, yeah, we need you. We need you. We don't always want to be the only ones up here, but we need you. So if you have any questions, please let me know. We try to have practices as much as we can, but please let me know. Holler at me, bump me, whatever. Hey, I would love to help out, serve any type of way, and we'd love to have you. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Grace, and I help with the Hope Feeds the Soul kind of outreach ministry. It's really about meeting the needs of those that Jesus helped all the time, the poor, the orphans, the widows. And we are just looking to love on people well through radical generosity of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure. So, I mean, in really practical ways, you know, through food, we did food baskets. The church was able to give out 25 food baskets for Thanksgiving this last year. Thank you guys so much for that, all right? And we know that there's more to do. There's more people out there that need help and just need to see the love of Jesus through those really practical ways. So if you're interested, please just get in touch with me, and there's a place for you. There's something to do. We need, we're looking for ideas. You know, we think this is all about collaboration here, and I know that the impact that we will have by working together will be greater than, you know, just one of us doing it on our own. So, come help out.
Amen. There's a couple of other people, of course, you know, Jeremy in the back. I mean, he's always leading whenever we do different classes and everything. He normally heads that up, and he's just been with us since the beginning. Thank you, Jeremy, for all that you do. Just a really solid guy. So, like, whenever we start up those classes again, you want to get with him. You're dealing with maybe you're going through an addiction of some sort. He knows how to point you towards Christ and see you to freedom. And we also have Amber's not here, but she does. She's in Kids Church. Thank you, Amber. I think you can hear me. anyway, every single person has a small stick. And every single one of you have a small stick. You have something that God has given you. And whenever you take that small, whatever it is, and you put it and say, hey, I'm going to be in community. I'm going to plug myself in. And then this thing right here, if I was to set this on fire, it would be so bright. Because all of us are coming together and giving that little stick. And I believe that's what the church is intended to be. We're intended to be a light in the midst of darkness. We are to burn bright for the Lord. You know, people ought to look at us and see Christ, see the fire burning on the inside of us. Amen. And so whatever that little stick is that you have, I would pray that God would speak to you and say, hey, look, I want you to begin to take that stick. It just says that widow took her stick and began to put it in the fire, begin to do something with it. You might have a little oil. You might have a little flour. You might have a little something. God can use it. Amen. Would you bow your heads and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word this morning, for speaking into our lives. And Lord, we realize, God, that we have a small stick. We have something that we can contribute, Lord God, Lord, to the growth of the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, today we choose, Lord, just to say it is yours, oh God, whatever it is, God, that you're asking from us. Lord, we say we are willing and we are able to take that stick, to take those small things and put it into the much greater thing, the kingdom of God. So, Lord, we place our lives in your hands. We place our talents and our abilities in your hands. Our resources, oh God, are yours. Everything that we have belongs to you. And we say, Lord, use us, oh God, in whatever way that you feel fit. And Lord, we believe that as we begin to do this, Lord, we're going to see radical change on the east side of Houma. We're going to see drug dealers come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see prostitutes delivered from their lifestyle. We're going to see alcoholics and set free in the name of Jesus. We're going to see those who are abusive just have a change of heart. We're going to see it. Those who are thinking about abortion, that they're going to have a change of heart and they're going to choose life. We're going to see it. We're going to see the power of God moving in this side, on this side of Houma and in our lives as we come together. It cannot be done by one person or one entity alone. It has to be done by the body of Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, help us, Lord, to do our part. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and let the church say amen and amen.
Hey, so don't leave. Don't get up. So in your bulletin, there is a sheet of paper. And so the only way that we can practically know what you want to be a part of course, come and talk to anybody. But in your bulletin, will you take it out? If you don't have a paper, Bryce is going to get you one. Lift up your hand. So in it, so just keep your hands raised. You got some papers coming to you. But we need those papers from the thing. Okay, so on it, it tells you everything that you just heard. One of the greatest ways that technology can be used is to keep us in contact, group me. So we will call you or text you, and we will add you to, for example, like if you want to cook for people within our church that are like having some problems, then we will add, we'll give your name to Lena, and then she will add you on to that GroupMe, and you can sort of get some information that way. We will not add your phone. We will not give it to anybody that wants your money or anything like that. We promise. And so if you want to do that, and then just say, I want to get in contact with these three people. Also, email is a beautiful way for us to contact you, because once a week I personally write a newsletter from our church on the next thing that's happening, whether that's Hope to the Streets, or are we doing this for Amplify, or this or this or that, or whatever it is, email. So put your name and your email for sure, and then just box off, say I like these three things, or if you want to talk to these guys, they said they're going to stay here till like 2 o'clock today just to get to talk to you. So I'm joking. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you. The thrift store is going to be open in like approximately 2 minutes, and so we love you guys. Have a beautiful day. Hey, drop that off, and these baskets are in all of the offerings that are around you guys, and we'll see you on Wednesday night. Amen.